All right. I'm going to try to talk loud enough so everyone can hear me. So, as you can tell, Lee and Terry are not here. They are in Omaha, we think, still. But Sarah and I had the opportunity to go with Lee and Terry to the Midwest Annual Ministry Celebration Conference that was this past Friday and Saturday. So that's where Lee and Terry remain, and they're just taking some extra time and a day just to spend together up there. But Lee asked us to share just a little bit about kind of about the weekend and about kind of things that Sarah and I learned. So that's what we're going to do today. So a little bit about just of what the weekend was. This was the, like I said, it's the annual ministry celebration for our conference, which I'm going to backtrack. So we're a part of the Covenant denomination, which the Covenant denomination is divided into several conferences across the U.S. Not sure how many, but we are part of the Midwest Conference, which consists of Missouri, Kansas, Colorado, Iowa, and Nebraska. And so once a year we get together, they try to get as many of the churches there as possible, and they have a ministry celebration, and it's kind of our annual just meeting where they have voting that takes place, they have just kind of reports from churches, different workshops, things like that. So that's what the weekend was. It starts out with kind of a opening worship service, and then from there we have a couple workshops that you can go to, and then it had a ministry fair that had lots of different opportunities for us to dialogue and talk with other organizations that are part of the Covenant and some that aren't. It also then had a meal, had another closing worship service, and then Saturday was just a kind of ending worship service and some more discussion that was had. So that's kind of what the weekend was in a nutshell. This was Sarah and I's first opportunity to go to this. This is something that Lee goes to every year. I'm not sure if we've ever, I think Rick might have gone in years past, but I think anything recently, it's really just been Lee and Terry that have gone. So it was a really neat opportunity for Sarah and I to go just to learn more about our denomination and learn more about ways that we can plug in and ways that we can also just kind of celebrate the work that we're doing as a church. So did you want to talk about some? We're going to pass this back and forth and try to remember.
Some of you know this, some of you don't. I grew up in the Nazarene denomination, and so I'm very used to how denominations work and the overarching structure of it. So this was something that I was partially familiar with, but at the same time I was like, I don't know what to expect because I don't know any of these people. So it was kind of odd for me not going in, not knowing anybody, whereas growing up I knew everybody. But at the same time I was really excited to make some of those connections because I know Lee has mentioned a few names from the church denomination. I was like, I don't know who these people are. I've never met them. I can't put a face with a name. So it was kind of nice to put a face with a name. And I got really excited to hear. We have a superintendent. Her name is Tammy. And she was re-voted in for another 3 years at this conference. And she was kind of presenting to us the focus that the denomination is trying to have, and I wanted to share that with you. We have a couple of these. Are we going to lay them out if you wanted some? Just talking about the different churches and different things going on. But on the front, it has kind of our goal for the conference that they're wanting to meet. They're wanting to have 8,000 new disciples, a total of 140 churches, which we're currently at 97. Mm-hmm. 30% female leadership, which I thought was very cool. And 25% ethnic leadership as well. They're recognizing, women and the fact that women can lead. And it was so cool to see how many women were co-pastors or were senior pastors that were there. And they talked and shared. So I just thought that was really unique. And also the ethnicity part. We heard from several churches of different ethnicities. We heard from a lot of Spanish-speaking churches. We heard from Sudanese.
There's a new South Sudanese church that just started this year in Des Moines,
I think. Yes. And one of my all-time favorite parts was Saturday morning, their choir came and sang for us. And I started tearing up because they just at one point just started dancing and singing Hallelujah over and over. And I just started tearing up because I was like, wow, the joy that they are feeling for the Lord right now. It just overwhelmed me and it was really cool. And I hadn't felt that in a long time. So it was really nice to feel that. And it was really cool to just experience all the different ways that people can worship. And the whole theme of the conference was, you know, we all have different ways that we do church. And that's okay. And, you know, there's different people that we're trying to reach. So I just thought it was really cool to see the heart of the conference being presented. So
one of the first worship kind of talks that they did, they talked about a passage in Ephesians, which is Ephesians 4:11-13, which is, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so in that passage, and they were kind of talking about just overall church leadership, and that really there's kind of five types of leaders within the church. You have your apostle, your prophet, evangelist, kind of your shepherd, and then your teacher. And so, and they talked a lot about how most churches tend to be led by and be focused on kind of the evangelist, the shepherding, or the teacher. And so like the evangelist is going to be someone that's working and gifted and primarily bringing people into the church. A shepherd would be someone that's kind of really kind of just a caretaker and keeps tend of their flock. A teacher is going to be someone that really is their main gifting is going to be kind of giving good, sound biblical teaching, really kind of grounded in the word. And then they talked about the other two, the apostles and prophets. These are the people that tend to ruffle some feathers, that tend to go against the grain, and that most churches aren't really led by these people because they tend to have short stays when they are lead pastor because they tend to upset people. And so an apostle and prophet, they're going to maybe speak against or highlight things in the Bible that aren't as highlighted. More mission focused. And as Sarah and I were talking about these kind of five types, we really looked at our church and pretty quickly realized that our church is mostly driven by apostles and prophets. That we are not your typical church, as I think we all know, and that Lee is definitely more of an apostle prophet type of gifted person, and that he isn't someone that's going to just look at the status quo and maintain that. He's looking at the Bible and reading and seeing where God is moving, and not just going to sit with where we normally are. And so we thought that was neat that we have someone that is in that type of gifting and that type of leadership. And also that he's stayed here for going on 10 years, just short of 10. And so that's probably not quite as normal for someone with that gifting. But it was also neat then because as we talked about it, and they talked about you need to create balance. So where most churches are lacking in their apostle, prophet, we're kind of more so lacking on that kind of shepherding and teaching and the evangelist side. And so One thing that we have started doing and over the past year and starting this year as well, we have a few different teams that are really, this puts some language into these teams of, we have our Connect team and our Engage team. And a lot of those teams' focus are kind of these type of things of reaching out to people, making sure that they stay connected, of shepherding, keeping care of our people. And so we thought that was really neat of, you know, this is some more different language that we can use, and we see that we're already doing of trying to create balance and maintain that. And so we just thought that was cool to see and hear from. Sarah and I both went to now different workshops, and so we're each going to share just a little bit about the workshops that we went to. And so Sarah's going to share first.
So I was really excited when I first was like, what are these workshops? Which ones? Micah had already decided which one he was going to go to, and him and Leah talked about, oh, I think you should really go to this one. And I hadn't really thought through it yet. And we had heard two pastors from a church in Colorado speak during our whole group time. And I was like, holy cow, they're really cool. Mm-hmm. They were talking about bringing up racial issues in their church and that conversation. And I was like, wow, that would be really cool to have seen and just been a part of. And then I found out that they were having a workshop. So I was like, yes, I'm going to go to theirs. And so their workshop was how to make your church an accessible place for who you're trying to reach. And I was excited to hear from them. And the passage that they based their workshop on was from Galatians 2, 7 through 8. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. And so they were really touching on how, you know, the churches in our conference are very different. We have a church like ours, and then we have a more traditional church that's been around for hundreds of years. And how we all have different focuses, but we all serve the same God. But as a church, we need to be able to decide who are we trying to reach, and then be very intentional about that. And the question they asked was, are you accessible to these people on purpose, or are you accessible to them by default? So are you purposefully reaching these kind of people, or is it just it kind of happened? And these things are just kind of happening. And pushing us to be a church that is purposeful with what we do. And they also asked, have we identified who we are on a mission for? And when they brought that question up, I immediately thought about the work that our church had done with our mission statement. And I had to ask Micah because I didn't remember it, and I felt bad for not remembering it. But our mission is serving hope in our neighborhood and world. And I think about our congregation, and I think about where we've come and how true that has always been for us. Our goal has always been to be hope in broken lives. And so it was just a time for us to talk with other church leaders and to question, are we being intentional about who we're trying to reach? And it was kind of cool that when we had our first talk time, I spoke with a woman who was at a church in Omaha, and I was mentioning our church, and she goes, oh yeah, is that church in Kansas City that works with people in prison? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you heard of us? We're tiny. So that was like really cool to know that our church is making an impact and we're being heard. And so then we moved into just talking about, you know, who we are, what's our mission, and also being able to explain why we are who we are. And so not only having our mission statement, but being able to explain why we've chosen that, and just keep asking that question and keep redefining it. And then this was one of the coolest parts. The two pastors that were leading it shared what they were doing in their church. And they were very much, you know, this isn't necessarily the right way. These are just the people that we have decided to minister to. And they called them the misinformed moralists, is how they kind of called the people that they were targeting. Just the people who are like, yeah, I mean, I'll go on Easter and Christmas. You know, I kind of like, I believe in a God, but I'm not super dedicated. And then they started sharing with us the different ways that they have made their church to intentionally target these people. And it got very intense. Like, they were talking about very specific stuff, like even the way we're dressed. We're going to dress down so that everybody feels welcome. We're going to explain everything we do. And the biggest thing that I felt was they said, we're going to make no assumptions. We're going to assume that everybody walking in our doors knows nothing about church. And so everything they say, you know, we can very easily slip into churchy language of talking about like redeemed and talking even communion and intinction, and people may not know those terms. And so their church has been working hard to explain those things and try not to use those terms as often. That way, for new people that walk in their doors that aren't familiar with them, they don't feel uncomfortable. And so I thought that was just really cool. And the biggest takeaway I had was everything we do as a church, we need to do it with a purpose. And we need to stay focused on that purpose and let that purpose that God has placed on our hearts drive the way. And so those are my takeaways from my workshop. So.
And so I went to a workshop led by Daryl and Stephanie Answer, who are actually local Kansas City people. They are church planters over on the east side, Missouri side, in a neighborhood called Ivanhoe. And so their workshop, they titled A Church, A Catalyst for Mobilization or Engagement. And so it was a phenomenal workshop as well, and I thought it was really neat because overall, they're kind of doing some of the same things that we are doing, but they're both trained and fellows in what is called asset-based community development. And so it essentially puts some technical terminology to things that we've been doing. So I thought it was neat. So a couple things that, one thing that Daryl started out with saying is, and one thing that I think Lee helps me do, and I think helps a lot of us do, is stay positive. Focus on the half glass, half full glass, rather than always focusing on the half empty. So I thought that was just encouraging to hear as a small church, as a church that's reaching out of, you know, maintaining our focus, but also recognizing where we're half full and not always focusing on that half empty side. And so a little bit about kind of asset-based community development. They talked about for churches, there's three ways you can relate to your community. One is that you could be in the community. And this is kind of where you are a fortress in the community. Your focus is entirely inward. You're not looking to have any influence from outside the community inward. And essentially, you're just a building. People come in, go out. There's no communication of what's happening inside that fortress. A second way was that you are to the community. And so they talked about this as a kind of your desire is just to bless the community. You're not necessarily looking for influence to come from outside the community to influence yourself, but that you are looking to serve on your own terms. And in ways this easily slips into kind of a savior mentality of where it's without us, these people would be doomed. They wouldn't be able to get out of where they are. So they need us to come help them bring them out of whatever they're in. The third way that you can relate to community was being with the community. And this is where they pushed us to be. This is this is what you want to strive for. And so they talked about this one being, you're an influence to the community, but you're also allowing the community to speak back to you. And that the members of your church and the community members, for them, oftentimes that line is blurred. And they look at it as, this is, it's not just we're giving you what you need, but you're also giving us back. And so it's a good situation for both. There's a reciprocal relationship. And so I thought that was really neat and kind of, in ways, a lot of where we are in some aspects already. I don't know how many people count us as their home church who have never set foot in our doors. I think back to a couple of women that Lee has ministered to have been homebound, Shirley Winters and Debbie, who never once stepped foot in our door, and yet we're their church. And that's been the embodiment of what Lee has done. But I also think of people that Lee works with in the correction. They've never come, but yet Lee's their pastor. Lee's their go-to person for when they are in need. And so it was neat seeing some of that. A big part of what they talked about then also was engaging people with their gifts and empowering people to use their gifts where they are. So the neat thing about Daryl and Stephanie and their community is they are very focused on Ivanhoe. It's a smaller, biggish neighborhood over in Casey Mo, but that's their entire focus, is within those blocks of their neighborhood. And so it made me question, okay, who are our neighbors? Who are our people? And as kind of Sarah talked about, our people are those that are struggling, the broken families, the people who are incarcerated. And so while they have a very defined geographical area, we have a much more defined people group of who we look to. And look to minister to. And so it was neat hearing that, and really them also giving and pushing kind of some of that technical language of asset-based community development. And so it's something that I'm very much still chewing on and trying to figure out, because they're talking in their geographical setting, and how do we take what they're doing geographically and apply it to our people group? Because we're not necessarily tied to a small geographic area, but looking at what they're doing and seeing how we can apply some of their resources that they've done and some of their things that they're doing to us. But a big thing that I just loved hearing from them was looking at people's giftings and their passions and finding ways for them to plug in. So when they were talking about this, they told a story of they had in their neighborhood a woman who was a fantastic cook. And so one of the things that they started doing just to develop community in their neighborhood were having monthly dinners. And so at the beginning, they were just doing potlucks and everybody would bring something. But once they found out that she had this great passion and this great skill, they started paying her to cater those meals. So not only was it a blessing for her to have a paying catering business, but it was also a blessing that she could then bless them with their food and her talents. So within our setting, I immediately thought of Dennis and how Dennis is a great welder and great welding instructor, and here he is using his talents and gifts to give back. Or Paul and his car skills of, he has the passion and gifting there and being able to use that to give back. So I think it's encouraging for us and a challenge for us, though, to continue to look at where are we gifted and what are our passions and how can we fill in gaps. It was a phenomenal session, and both of our sessions, and mine really, it was neat to see within our conference kind of a shift. As Christ the Servant started, we were definitely kind of on the edge of the conference, I would say, of really kind of pushing the limits, pushing the boundaries of what is church, how do we report what our church is doing. And it was neat in this conference for us to see the Midwest Conference is starting to embrace that. So there were numerous workshops that were kind of pushing that edge and looking at Daryl and Stephanie and what they're doing. They're not doing church the normal, typical way of church planting. They're looking at things completely different. Seeing what we've been doing and kind of being on, in ways, almost that leading edge for our conference of pushing the boundaries and saying, okay, what is church, but where is God calling us to be more so? And not just sticking with the status quo of what church should look like and what church should be. So it was really neat just to see that. Part of that was reflected again in those workshops, also in the plenary sessions, the people that they had speaking. So Daryl and Stephanie led one. Lee actually led a workshop. Aaron Mader drove up. So they're giving time and space for these voices to be heard and to influence the rest of our conference. And we actually ended with a group discussion that Lee kind of started off kicking it off. And so Sarah's going to talk a little bit more about that.
Going off of what he said, there was only 8 or less workshops that we could choose from, and Lee was one of those. So that was just really cool. To know that they wanted to hear our voice, they wanted to hear what we're doing, they wanted to hear how we do things. And then to have Lee speak again at this closing part, which was about how do we make disciples and how do we see the disciples that are growing amongst us. And they had Lee started off by talking about the work that we do in our community and how making disciples doesn't mean how many people are coming to Bible study or how many people are sitting in your pews at church on Sunday. It can mean also, you know, how are you affecting the people around you? And to choose Lee to start that conversation was really cool for us to see. Because the conference is saying, you know, we are recognizing there's so many different ways to do church. There's so many different ways to reach people, and there's no right or wrong way. And so they encouraged us to gather together with people at our table. I had a blast. They gave me chart paper, sticky notes, and markers. So I had a blast with it. But they were asking questions like, how do we know when we've created disciples in our congregation? And just bouncing ideas off of each other's. And how are we recording that? Are we even recording that we've made disciples? And just having this conversation of, you know, how do we keep track of these things? How do we push ourselves to grow, make goals? Do we not make goals? It was a very open-ended conversation about, you know, how is your church doing things and how can we push ourselves to continue to do more? And it was cool to hear the, 2 men that were at our table, they are wanting to push those boundaries as well and just being able to bounce ideas off of each other and think about how do we reach people? What do we consider to be when we see that, you know, Jesus is making an impact in people's lives? And at our table, we talked a lot about, you know, engagement, people being engaged and connected and wanting to be a part of God's mission and life change. You know, we've seen so much life change happen in our church and just recognizing that that's a part of seeing God work and move. And so it's just a really cool conversation that we had at the very end, and to just see Lee set it off was just amazing. Before we do our last little closing part, we wanted to open up to you guys to see if you had any questions for us. Can't guarantee that we'll know all of them. But just if you had any questions about our Midwest Conference, if you had any questions about people we interacted with, any questions that you might have of what's going on in our church and what's going on in the denomination.
I have a thought. It's not really a question. It's something that I'm just put out there. You know, I really admire what Lee's doing. But, you know, Lee is one of those people that's never met a stranger. You know, that's not me. He's got certain kinds of access that not everybody can have. Not everybody's cut out to go and seek. Mm-hmm. He works a lot with the governmental folks, and you know, he could probably just walk into Lansing Prison without, you know, "Hey, George," you know, whatever. And sometimes I feel a little frustrated on that count, because our mission is supposed, at least seems to be, corrections. Mm-hmm. But so few of us have real access to those folks. They're certainly not going to come to us. And so, you know, it occurs that, I mean, I just think sometimes those families, one problem is that they come from all over the state, that type of thing, and then they live in other towns, you know, they wouldn't have any expectation of them driving from, you know, Coffeyville or something to come here on Sunday mornings. But, you know, the folks in the area, I mean, to try to minister to them and through them minister to the folks that are incarcerated, because most incarcerated people are men. You know, you're supposed to take care of widows, but those folks are just about widows, you know, for practical purposes. So, anyway, that's just out there.
And I think that's a great thing to bring up, and I think that's something for us to ponder as a church of, this is where we feel called. How do we get there? And with his question of, you know, talking about, you know, these are our neighbors. These are the neighbors we've chosen. How do we minister to them? And how can I, a very quiet, sometimes shy person, doesn't seem like it sometimes, but I am, how do I go out of my comfort zone when I feel like sometimes I'm not as, I feel like I have such different skills than Lee? How do I get there? And I think that's conversations we can have together as, you know, what are we good at each individually? How can we all play a part in this mission that we have? And I think that's where God is leading us. And I think it's going to be an exciting journey.
I really appreciate what Bill said, because I'm one of those people that's not really very gregarious myself. So
seriously?
But what I also... want to remind everybody is we don't necessarily have the connections that Lee has. We don't have all the contacts and aren't comfortable just walking into weird situations. But what we do have, we could probably, you know, internally look within and say, how can I support this? So for a simple example, I know nothing about welding, and I haven't really know that much about corrections, but what I do is I sit in with Dennis on the interviews. And after doing those a few times, Dennis, you learn a lot from Dennis and knowing whether this person is real or not, or whether they're just blowing smoke, which is a learning experience for me, because I kind of went saying, yeah, this person would be great. And Dennis is already going, he's already shaking his head no. And I didn't know, and Dennis was like, he was high. Could you tell he was high? He's worked with the population for a number of years, so he knows what it looks like. And so I learned something. But what he wants, what he needs, is somebody who's who has some ability to perceive where a person is. And, you know, so you may not have an ability to just walk in and know everybody in the correction system. But if you can read people or get a basic understanding of whether they really are serious about making a change in their life or not, then you can go in and help doing interviews. You don't, you know, it's really a matter of all of us kind of looking inside and saying, what do I have? that can contribute, even if I'm not trained in, you know, all these things, but I have this innate ability to do whatever. Mm-hmm. And how can I use that innate ability to support all the functions? You know, there are people who are not mechanically inclined, but they'll stop by and just kind of yak with the rest of us while we're working on a car. And that's and that actually is helping because it makes it more fun. You know, so you don't have to have any mechanical mm-hmm. ability. If you know what the tools look like, you can be handing tools to people. I mean, it's not something you have to. So there's, in all the things that we're involved in here, it doesn't require Lee's knowledge or Dennis's knowledge or my knowledge or, you know, it doesn't require any of that. It just requires a desire to contribute what you can. You know, I mean, the widow with the single mite gave more than the person who was rich. If you're looking at yourself as a person with little mite, you could actually enhance a whole lot of things, and you know, without realizing. So I think a lot of times we sell ourselves short. We say I can't, rather than saying what do I have that can. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm not a person that's going to be really friendly. I'm not going to be, you know, loving having somebody come up and hug me, which a young woman did one time after we fixed her car, and it was a shock to me. But you know, it wasn't what I, you know, wasn't why I was doing it. Wasn't something I really enjoyed. But I enjoyed working on a car and seeing this person go from despair to hope, and that's really what amazed her. Was so we didn't impact her. She's not attending church or anything like that. But what she got was that there are people in this world that are willing to help without some kind of payment in return, mm-hmm. and that's all that mattered. Yeah. So if that's all she got out of it, great. If she someday shows up in church, even better. But we're here to serve hope, and whatever penny we have to contribute, that's what God's asked us to do. So, I mean, I still go in wondering why I'm going into these interviews with Dennis, but he's continues to tell me he wants me there. I don't know exactly why, because I don't see myself as an expert, but that's what he wants. He wants somebody that can kind of help him figure out what makes this person tick. That's all. So,
I think it's good, too, to have the perspective that when we started as a church, we just knew that we wanted to help in ways that the church wasn't reaching people currently. And I think we're just now starting to kind of feel out what does that look like, and we're seeing people that we can influence for God where we can see that there's a need. So I think it's easy to really look at Lee like a superhero and kind of feel like, well, I'm not a Lee, so how the heck can I participate? And I think it's good to know that we're kind of just starting to figure this out, and it's going to take time, and to be just courageous and try things, and even a little contribution is a lot. You know, I feel frustrated sometimes that I'm in an office all day fitting hearing aids, which is in itself does really feel like a ministry, and sometimes I have to remind myself of that. But even though we're not all vocationally spending our time making all these connections like we is, it'll take us time to figure out where we fit, and even our little contributions are important.
Hope is our asset. Like, our asset that we deal with the community is not being a counselor or being a preacher or being a welder or an auto mechanic. It's hope, right? You can be a total, you know, you can fix someone's car and be a total dick and you make their day worse. But
Brandon, jerk.
Jerk. And you make their day worse.
Where are the children?
Or they're all downstairs.
That's what I'm like.
That's good. Or you can do it, and you can give some hope at the same time, mm-hmm. right? That's what we have, and that's a need, like you said, with families. Like, that's a that's a big ministry opportunity that we've been spending a lot of time thinking about, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think Paul's right, you know, that you don't have to have a skill or a trade or a licensure. You mm-hmm. hope is does 99% of the work.
Yeah. Willingness to be backup and support and do the little things, and recognize the needs. Jennifer saw the need for basic building blocks of parenting, and that's why she has a heart for strengthening families. And some of us have that heart for strengthening families because we recognize that need. And we don't expect to see a big turnaround all at once, but we put tools and building blocks and baby steps in place. Mm-hmm. And we help do that. And you talked about the lady with the gift of showing up and cooking. Mm-hmm. And Juan's got that covered.
Yeah, Juan.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
But the backup and support mm-hmm. and the servant's heart. When Christ came back a week after the resurrection, when Christ was back, and he would just show up and talk with his disciples, and then they'd figure out that it was him. But that time on the beach, that they came in and they were discouraged and given up because they hadn't caught any fish. And he said, "Put your net on the other side." But he was standing there. He already had breakfast cooked. He had fish and bread and everything. And he said, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." And that's what he keeps saying to us. Bring what you got. And I'll multiply it. And I think we're kind of the poster kids for that sometimes, because we bring what little we've got and God multiplies it. And we have to have the faith that in those outlying communities that we can't reach ourselves, that someone's doing the same thing. Because that's what the church is.
And even in the strengthening families arena, I'm not a person that's going to be comfortable sitting down at a table with a family trying to emulate what it means to have a decent conversation, because I just don't have, it would not work well. Anyway, but what I did find out was that being back with Dennis and Carol and preparing food, I was able to stay away from that kind of interaction mm-hmm. and still support the effort. And so, I'm not cut out to do the interactive table type discussion, but if I can support something from behind and help them mm-hmm. put together food or whatever, then I'm at least comfortable where I'm doing and not threatening the whole situation. I mean, we're trying to make a positive experience here for these families. It would not be a positive experience if I was trying to have a conversation with some of these people. So.
I'm more than happy to eat and talk.
Wayne's one of those people who can, who can just interact with anybody, and that's just not who I am.
God knows us better than we know ourselves.
What does Paul say about the parts of the body?
That's right. Different gifts.
I was going to say, kind of ironically, I guess my gift is my brokenness, because sitting with strengthening families, I think it's easy for them to talk to me because I've been in those shoes, I've been the broken person, and crazy enough, a lot of the families actually have a lot of strengths, but when you're in that brokenness, you can't see that strength. And I've actually had a lot of them ask me several times, where do you go to church? Because a lot of them do want to go to church, but some of the churches they've been to kind of made them feel like, we don't fit in, we're broken, and mm-hmm. you guys got it all together. Even though a lot of those churches, they're just as broken as the rest of us, but they don't. It's harder for people to see mm-hmm. that, and so it's not comfortable for them to walk in with all these perfect people. But I think I personally need to start taking cards with this. I've had several conversations with several families wanting to go to a church, but kind of scared or intimidated. And but even though they're broken, one of them had a master's in counseling and stuff. But she said, "What I tell these other people to do, you know, it's much different when I'm doing it myself, like in all the." Other things hit, and another lady that she's there now, she works with an attorney, so it's not people that don't have skills, it's just they have some broken pieces and don't know how to put it together. And it reminds me still of walking in with my bologna sandwich to offer. That story is imprinted in my brain. When I walked into this church, I felt I had absolutely nothing to offer, and that's how many of these people feel. It's scary and intimidating. So when we can see in our community what they have to offer and let them know, hey, you guys have something to offer, sometimes you need to be told that and see that, because sometimes it's hard to see it in yourself.
All right, I'm going to kind of wrap us up with just kind of one closing thing of something that Sarah and I both came away with not really knowing about our denomination and our conference is just that there's a lot of resources out there for us to use. And I know a lot of times we have tended to look at what we can do. And so one of the things that we were challenged by, and also we want to bring back to the church, bring back to the board, to really discuss about and chew on, is how can we be tied into the denomination? What resources are there that they have that are there for us to use? In ways that, as we've been a voice to them and been pushing kind of what they've thought and their boundaries, What can they say to us that can assist us and help us do church better and love God more and share Him more with others? So please know that that's something that we are going to be looking at and looking into, is additional resources that are there for us and there that we can tap into. So be on the lookout for things that will be coming up, because there will be some things that are going to be coming soon. And so be on the lookout for that. So I will go ahead and, but again, if you want one of these, there will be up here. It's just a little pamphlet, just highlighting the Midwest Conference, highlighting some of the churches that are present, highlighting some of the church plants that are going on. So if you want one, feel free to come up and grab one. But I will go ahead and close this in prayer.